It's okay. I'm getting, trying to get here to have a prayer request. And the technology is not working. Hang on. There we go. Oh, out of there. Let's just repeat. So Phyllis is asking for prayer for Tom. And Tom was a good friend of Richard. He was roommates, I think. Weren't they roommates or... Oh, caregiver. Okay. So Tom got to meet him in the hospital and a great heart, but he has issues with his feet. And so what happened is that Richard used to take care of his feet really, really well. And now they've gotten sounds like almost infected with calluses. And so they now have like a cast over them, and they're believing that they don't have to amputate. And so we're going to pray and believe today that God would touch Tom in this situation and just reveal his love to Tom through this healing. Father, we just ask you right now, Lord, that you would just touch Tom, Lord, with your healing hand. Lord, we know that Tom needs also a touch for his heart, Lord. Lord, he is really, really, really having a hard time with Richard being gone, Father. And we pray that you would allow him to receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit as you touch his physical body. Lord, your word says that we should prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Lord, I pray that you would allow Tom's soul to prosper in the things of God, to be blessed with his presence, to be blessed with his truth, to feel the love of God, Lord, deep in his being, Lord, and know that you are the one, God, that's bringing him through, Lord, life, and that he can look to you, Lord, for every day in the future. We just ask now, Lord, that there would just be a touch from heaven, that there would be a testimony of your goodness that Tom could declare, and that you will get the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
look at this is what it's on. Is it like a sign? You can ask Jesse. It was not in the practice. That is crazy.
That's awesome. Maybe we're supposed to.
Oh, I'm looking. It's not there. Okay.
It's a little too soon. It's really not there.
It's not there.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name.
but I heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell that you're pleased in that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father.
To you are, to you are. good? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oops, that's the wrong way. You went this up here, don't you?
Whoa, hey.
How about that joy to the world? That was crazy, wasn't it? I don't know that song, though. No, I'm just kidding. What am I looking for? Something else. Oh, iPad. Hey. I do not know how that happened. Not even Thanksgiving yet, and it's trying to do Joy to the World. It's a great song. And it's not just Christmas, I guess. Maybe they did. Remembering the Lord has come. Okay, praise the Lord. All right. So Gay's not feeling 100%, so she may have to
step aside
for a moment. Yeah. There you go. So we are in John chapter 11. And I really like this chapter, so that's kind of why I'm just sticking with it. And I haven't necessarily gotten anything other as of yet. Have you? You would let me know, wouldn't you? But today's message is called Rise Again. And we're going to take a little bit different of a look at this. We could have went from here. We could have probably easily gotten into the part where Lazarus was being raised from the dead and to communicate. But I kind of wanted to just talk a little bit about the idea of resurrection. So we'll get into it and see how. Are you okay to read? Okay. Starting at verse 11.
After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover."
We had that last week. Yep.
Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him."
Let's go ahead and we can stop there. So last week we talked about the idea. What was last week? So I'm trying to remember that. I was going to say, yeah, 2 days more. And we talked about the idea that sometimes God's timing and our timing don't line up. And how the disciples were also, again, thinking in the natural. They were, you know, like we have a tendency to do, we think in the carnal or in the natural world and not as much in the spirit as we should. And in verse 11, we see here that Jesus is communicating to them after this time had passed, because when they first heard that, of course, that he was sick, they said, "Jesus, you should go back. You know, he's sick. You know, the person that you love is sick, so go bring that healing power that you have, you know, that is part of this ministry that we've seen." And he goes, "No, this sickness, you know, it isn't unto death, but it's for the glory of God." And they're like, okay. And then after a little bit of time, he says, "So let's go ahead and go back." And the Lord, they wanted to kill you, you know. And so the point being is that they're constantly operating in their natural mind. And Jesus is saying here, okay, our friend has fallen asleep, but I will go awaken him. So in their ideas, when they hear someone's asleep, like you hear someone's asleep, what do you think? They're sleeping. They're sleeping. And that, you know, it's not necessary for you to go there, Lord, and wake him up, you know. I'm sure he'll wake up on his own just fine, you know. And bless their hearts. Bless my heart. I mean, I think if I was there, I'd be thinking the same thing, you know, because Jesus is using like terms that they're not really that familiar with.
Right.
And the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll recover. You know, he'll wake up. You know, it'll be okay." And then Jesus says here, did it not go? There it goes. Now, Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. In other words, he had to get like very specific. And it's almost like Jesus didn't want to necessarily even go there. He wanted to remain.
Didn't want to speak.
Didn't want to speak that Lazarus had died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So what we see Jesus saying is that Lazarus has died. And I'm glad that you guys weren't there, that you guys weren't already living in the mourning and the grief and all that stuff, and that you may also believe in the Son of God. You may believe in Messiah. You believe in who I am. Now, I don't know if this was just in here for humorous effect, that John thought it was necessary to put this in here. Because this is definitely like just out of the left field. Every time I read it, it's like, Thomas, what were you thinking? Then it says, Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. It's like, I don't know. It's like, hey, let's all go die together. I don't know what he's thinking, you know.
Is Thomas still thinking about trying to
kill Jesus? You know, it's possible. You know, but it sounds like it's talking about Lazarus here. So I've read it many different ways. I've even read in the Greek, and it's really not that clear. I'm just like, Thomas probably elbowed John. Why did you have to put that part in? It's like, you know, like, right?
Who knows?
Obviously,
we'll
the
know
Holy
later.
Spirit knew what was going on. But to us, it seems like a little out of place. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on.
17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house.
So in verse 17 here, we have that when Jesus comes, and we don't know where Jesus was. We know that it was a little bit of a distance away where he was staying. He found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days.
Right.
So, I don't know if any of you or, you know, most of us who see, if we see a dead body, it's like in the hospital after they've passed and expired. And sometimes we see them after they've been, you know, prepared when they're in a viewing. Mm-hmm. But they had a process that they tried to basically... Because, you know, these tombs were, you know, they tried to seal them as good as they could, but they basically tried to make sure that these bodies didn't, like, just start deteriorating and just start stinking, which actually is communicated later on in this chapter. And so he's already been dead 4 days. And I don't know if this was a surprise to Jesus, but it says that he found. And so it's interesting that Jesus is discovering this, that it had been 4 days. We know that Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but we don't know the exact timeline. And then we find out that there's individuals that have come from 2 miles away, probably from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And since they heard that they had lost their brother, it was customary to mourn a lot. Great mourning. I mean, like, you know, wailing and it was like they were helping the individuals who could maybe even mourn for themselves mourn and the loss of their brother.
They were professional mourners.
Yeah, they were professional.
They
were professional. Yeah, they were professional mourners.
They called the professional mourners to come in and do it right.
Yeah.
Everybody could kind of sort of follow along, but they were the top of the line.
So they were hired to do that.
Hired to do that.
Wow, isn't that crazy?
So I have to ask a question. I'm going to just put something out there.
You're going to put something out there?
So you know how when you guys, when you go over the mountain and you hit the Tacoma area, how there's a smell? I'm wondering.
It's not as bad as it used to be, but.
But I'm wondering if in this area there was that smell.
Oh, in this tomb area?
Uh-huh. This is just a side note.
Right.
And the reason I'm wondering that is because everybody is coming to mourn there, and maybe them mourning loudly took their mind off the stench or something? I don't know. I'm just asking. Like, do you think that maybe there was?
Did you raise your hand? Or are you just? Oh, I thought I saw a hand raise. Okay.
But I have a tendency to agree with you that there must have been some sort of.
There had to have been.
Anybody that came here to tune, there must have been something out there that.
And I don't think it was just any old tomb. I think it was probably a tomb area where they had, you know, many people probably
right.
had been buried there. Right.
Yeah.
So there was probably the smell of death in that place.
Right.
Right.
Right. And
is that what you're trying to get
well,
to?
Well, I'm just, this is so far left field. I know
is
that.
It really?
But, well, I don't know. Maybe not. But I know that when they train police officers and police officers go in to investigate an unattended death, they have them use Vicks Vapor Rub. They actually shove it up their nostrils so that they can't continue to smell the smell. And so these professional mourners that they hired, they probably cost quite a bit because they had to be around the smell, I would think. And do you know where I'm going with this? Like this
not
was
quite,
not.
But keep going.
But this was not a come for a party kind of day.
No, this was a very. This was a dark time.
This was a really
to the place
dark
that we
time.
Find out
this
Jesus
wasn't like
weeps
a celebration.
From the scene. Right.
Yeah.
It's not like how we handle death.
No.
No, and not
to
at
them,
all.
It was tremendous loss.
Tremendous
and
loss.
Not
great
everybody
grief.
Then believed in the resurrection. So
right.
They.
So I'm just kind of setting the tone of where they really are in the midst of all of this, because it's the depth of grief and it's professional mourners called. It's a stinky area. And I'm supposing about the stinky area, but, you know, if there's more than one person buried there, there's more than one person stinking there.
And probably not every tomb was sealed as.
And not every
nice.
Tomb was sealed yeah. as good as they should have been. Exactly. Right. I'm just saying this is not an ideal, let's go and, you know, support Mary and Martha kind of thing. It was more of a very, I mean, you had to want to go there to be there. It was a, do you understand what I'm trying
yeah,
to get?
Yeah, basically mean, it wasn't like, oh, we're just going to go visit them at the hospital. This was an area that was had a feel in it and a certain
was,
type
it
of
it was already set.
Environment
yes,
to it. I see what
yes.
you're saying. Yes.
So Jesus came and he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Well, by this time, I mean, that's how long the funeral services go.
Or longer.
Went.
Sometimes
or
longer.
Longer.
People would
yeah.
mourn up to a month.
Yeah.
Just, they wouldn't work. They would just.
And some of us just get off for a couple hours to go to a funeral. This was like they took this very seriously.
Yep.
Okay, I made my point.
Okay. And many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother, including the professionals. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. And I've underlined these two because obviously it's in here for a reason. Now, did we know that, we don't know if Mary knew that Jesus had come. We don't know that. Because later on when Martha says, the Lord's here, you come to him, she comes. But Martha is the one who first comes to Jesus. And she goes and she meets him. And, you know, when you hear Martha's communication with Jesus, you realize that there was depth to this woman. She wasn't just, you know, she wasn't just a fly-by-night, you know, Christian, you know, and we talked a few weeks ago about how, you know, she was hurrying, scurrying, doing all this stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and it seemed like she wasn't as spiritual, but she knew who she knew, and mm-hmm. she makes a powerful confession here at the end of this. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and keep going. 21.
Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
So Martha says, to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You would have been able to take care of this illness. We've seen that so much.
This would not be an issue.
But then she even ends it, though. But even now, though, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And I don't know if she's thinking that he's going to raise him from the dead, because later on she's going, like, when he wants to do it, Lord, he stinks, you know. But even in this moment, she declares this mystery of hope. You know, even now I know God will give you whatever you ask, even though it makes no sense to me. And, you know, a woman of faith,
yeah.
Great faith. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Now, what's he talking about? Well, in about 10 minutes, your brother's going to rise again.
She's thinking,
no. You know, I know, Jesus, that he's going to rise again. He's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Now, when I saw this, I thought this was interesting. I'd read this many times, and I thought, like, holy cow, where does this Jewish woman get this deep revelation of the resurrection in the last day? Something that is a real kind of, like, New Testament type of belief, right? That she, like, it's not Jesus teaching her. She's saying, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection the last day. So she was of the Pharisee type of belief system, mm-hmm. that she believed in the supernatural. She believed in the afterlife. So because of this, I thought we would take a look at, and this is going to be a little bit more of like teaching time, because I think it's good for us to know. What's that? Oh, I thought you were pointing at somebody. It's good for us to know that it's not just in the New Testament that talks about resurrection, talks about new life, talks about the dead being raised. Because some people say, oh, well, you know, that's just all New Testament teaching. That has no base in the Old Testament. Well, not necessarily. Let's go ahead and look at Job 19, 25 through 26. Go ahead.
For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God.
Isn't this something that Job, in his anguish, boils all over his body? And I mean, he's in tremendous pain. He's lost all of his family except his wife, who he probably wished he would have lost her, because she was so mean to him after all this happened. And yet he goes, but I know that my Redeemer lives. What a statement. I know that the one that I need to ransom me, to redeem me, lives. And that in the last times, in the last days, in the last, he will stand upon the earth. There's a revelation that his Redeemer was going to be on the earth, mm-hmm. in the last days. And then he says, and then after my skin has been destroyed, in other words, it's dust. It's went back to being dust. Yet, in my flesh, I still see God. Job had a very, very deep revelation of the resurrection. He had a deep revelation of rising again from the dead. You have anything to add? Okay. Let's go and look at another one. This is Isaiah 26:19.
Okay, so I have Job in here twice. Is that
you have Job twice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Job's really good, but not that good. Okay, go ahead.
Isaiah 26:19. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You will dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is the dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead.
So here's another scripture that this prophet Isaiah is communicating. Your dead shall live, communicating the truth that their bodies were going to rise, and that those who dwell in the dust, or those who have turned back into dust, would awake and sing for joy. Mm-hmm. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. So this is why Martha is saying to Jesus, I know that my brother will rise in the resurrection at the last day. She has an understanding.
A knowledge,
right. She believes the resurrection is a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to learn that the resurrection isn't a time. The resurrection is a person. See, we have a lot of ways that we communicate about God, and we tend to make them about God's characteristics that are, like, just part of his, I don't know, arsenal of who he is. And resurrection power is one of the things that he can dish out. But resurrection, as Jesus says, and we'll see, I am the resurrection. It's not that it's just
it's not a
part of God. It is God. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, we say, oh, I received the peace of God. And we think, you know, God, you know, threw a sliver of peace to us. No, he is peace. Mm-hmm. He is love. He is joy. When we receive those attributes, we receive God himself. Mm-hmm. That's why we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, because everything that we have that is a characteristic that we would say, or a nature of God, is God himself. Mm-hmm. It's who he is. You can't separate who he is and his characteristics, or who he is and his nature. They're the same. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's, yes?
Her understanding also is really deep for a female of her time.
No doubt. Yep. Yeah.
So I believe that her brother Lazarus probably had a lot to do with that. You know, when he would allow Christ in his home and the teaching, I believe that he allowed that in his sisters.
Yeah.
Well, and this makes me think of us, me and Mike at home, and Jesse coming over. They talk deep things of the Lord all the time. So you have to know that when Jesus was in their home, he was sharing with Mary and Martha probably more things that he shared with the whole crowd, because they were privy to some of the things that he had to say that he didn't just say to anybody.
That didn't get written down.
So you have to know that there was more to her than just the normal woman.
Jewish woman, at that point
in time, there was more to her because of her relationship with Jesus and because of her sister and her brother's relationship with Jesus. So this tells me the closer we get to Jesus, the more we know of Jesus, but the more we will know Jesus.
Right. In intimacy.
In intimacy.
Right.
Exactly.
Isn't it interesting that Mary, that appeared to be most intimate with Jesus earlier?
Yeah.
And yet it's her that is staying home and it's Martha with the revelation?
Isn't that interesting? I noticed I picked up on that too, yeah. The thing is
that... Give Mary time.
Yeah.
Give her time.
Give Mary time. She's got still time to show up. Yeah. Okay. So Daniel, but I see what Jesse's saying.
I do too.
In other words, from the appearance, it looked like Mary was on the insider.
Yet
Martha had a depth to her.
She did.
That you know, maybe isn't acknowledged as often because, you know, she's the busybody, or she's the one that's always, you know, getting everything all ready, but she still had a faith to her that was pretty significant.
She did.
As we will see.
I'm not diminishing that in any way.
Okay, good. Right, Jesse? Good point. Daniel 12:2. Let's look at another one. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, we're getting it established.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
So here we have another prophet, Daniel, and this is actually the verse before. It talks about when Michael, the one who is going to be the governor of the people of the last day, the angel that kind of oversees it, which is a powerful thing, and it talks about, you know, what's going to be going on in the last days, then it's added, and many of those who sleep in the dust in the last times of the earth shall awake.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty clear. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, because of all these scriptures, some people in the Christian faith now believe that when we die, we're just in a stasis, because of these scriptures, we're asleep. We don't, there's nothing to us, but we know that Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we know that it talks about the church of the believers that have already passed, that are part of the living church now. You know, we're gathering here right now, but in Christ, as we gather here, we're also gathering with the mountain of the Lord, where the host of angels are, and where the saints that have gone before us is, and the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. I mean, we're not just, you know, a small group gathering. We're also gathering with all of heaven now.
So is that the great cloud of witness?
Great cloud of witnesses included in that. Exactly. Yep. Amen. Okay. So here we get to Jesus saying in 25, go ahead.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.
So Jesus says to her, when she's thinking that resurrection is going to be a time in the future, that it's going to be something that it's like this. We have Easter Sunday that we celebrate as believers, and it ends up becoming the focus of Resurrection Day. But the Lord really revealed to me one time is that Resurrection Day is every day. It's because Resurrection Day is the life of God that now lives in us, that gives life to our mortal bodies. And what is that? That's Christ himself. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Mm-hmm. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. So when we have Jesus, we have all that we need. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we have all of Jesus. And we have Jesus, we have all of God.
So it's like what you said. Instead of getting a piece of peace, he is peace.
We have all peace.
And so I am the resurrection means he's the resurrection, whether it be Easter Sunday day or Christmas day or my birthday or, you know what I'm saying? It's every day. And I've never looked at it like that. That's amazing.
Well, the thing is that because of time, and that's what she was dealing with, she was dealing with time. Yes, Lord, he will rise again in the resurrection. The resurrection was a time.
A future event.
It was an event. And Jesus is communicating, no, it's not an event, it's a person. That person will fill that event, and it will look as if an event's taking place, but really, it's an act of the person. It's like when God came down on the mountain with Moses, and they look at, you know, that was a significant time when God was revealing himself to mankind. And so then that mountain experience almost sometimes dwarfed God himself coming.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
And it's like with us. Anytime, you know, we have like an encounter with the Lord, maybe it's a supernatural event that takes place or a prayer time or something like that. The event then can take place almost as we make that event the connection with God instead of God himself being the connection with what we received. Mm-hmm. And it's easy for us to do this because we're so departmentalized. Mm-hmm. Men especially, but even when it comes to these kind of things, it's the way that we understand stuff is based on time. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us are aging. Some of us more than others. Right? And so, we can think of, okay, when I was younger, I can think I was a teenager, think I was a young adult, can think when I was an adult, you know, and we can think in this process. And we think of, you know, when events happened along that, when I got married and all. And so the events then become like the story of our life.
Right.
But if we make that the main thing that we focus on, then the events end up almost in a way overwhelming us sometimes because the events can be
more important than.
They can be tragedy type events. They can be. So we end up letting our life be described by the events.
That's so big.
Not by the one who has delivered us. Mm-hmm. Like Job in the middle of, I know my Redeemer lives. I know that someday, not now, but someday I'm going. And he's looking in the future at, I won't be full of boils anymore. And when I'm turned to dust, when all my life is done, when I'm through this situation, I'm going to see my Redeemer. I'm going to see the one. And that's still placing it in time, but it's also putting his hope in something that's beyond his moment. We all tend to get caught up in the moment, you know. We get caught up in the tragedy that we're dealing with or in the triumph that we're dealing with, the elation of the moment, you know.
Right.
So She says to him, Lord, I know that he's going to rise in that resurrection time in the last day. And Jesus says, no, I'm the resurrection and life. Though he die, whoever believes in me, any of us, though we die, yet we're going to live. Mm-hmm. And then everyone who lives, now who's that? That's us. Mm-hmm. Everyone who lives, every single one of us here today, we're alive and believes in me, She'll never die. So what does that mean, she'll never die? Some people say, well, it means that we're never going to die spiritually because we believe in Christ. Some say, well, no, it means that we're going to never die physically. That's like, okay, well, you can believe that. You can, if you want to put your faith and trust in that, because, you know, nothing's impossible for God. And we know that with, you know, faith can move mountains. So, but I believe that there's a principle here that death has no sting with us, and that it is not, it, like I said before, it's not the end, and it's not like our life is like, you know, like getting a settle for. We're really starting to live when we die. We're more alive then than when we were alive here. So whoever believes in me, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And so he says to her, do you believe this? Martha, do you believe this? And then again, this woman, she makes a credible declaration here. She says to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That's powerful. That's pretty close to what Peter declared on that road when he says, who do people say that I am? I mean, she is declaring who he is. She is a believer, and I believe that Holy Spirit was working in her at this time as well. Amen. You have anything else to add?
Well, I just, coming back to the resurrection and the life, that is so powerful because we say, you know, back when we went to Transformed or Encounter, it was so powerful because God changed my life. But today, just like back then, today, he's the resurrection. Today, he's the life. Today, he's the peace. Today, he's the one that wants to give us good things. We don't have, I mean, it's good to remember, but we don't have to point to it. Today, we get all of that he is available to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we tapping in? That's the whole thing. Are we thankful for it and we're just still motivating on? Or are we tapping into him being the resurrection, him being the life, him being truth, him being peace, him being resurrection, him being all of those things? Are we tapping into it? And boy, this really is a convicting time for me because it just is.
Take time to be still in my presence. The more hassled you feel, the more you need this sacred space of communion with me. Breathe slowly and deeply. Relax in my holy presence while my face shines upon you. This is how you receive my peace, which I always proffer to you. Imagine the pain I feel when my children tie themselves up in anxious knots, ignoring my gift of peace. I died a criminal's death to secure this blessing for you. Receive it gratefully. Hide it in your heart. My peace is an inner treasure growing within you as you trust in me. Therefore, circumstances cannot touch it. Be still, enjoying peace in my presence. Like you said, it's there for us. It doesn't have to be an event. It can be a consistent, abiding presence. But it takes an acknowledgement. Sometimes it takes us just to close our eyes, you know. Even that's tough, you know, sometimes. Because, you know, you're busy doing things like, I don't have time to even close my eyes. But when you close your eyes and you just, you know, think about the Lord, think about his presence, think about his love, I guarantee it's not going to be too much longer that all of a sudden your anxieties, frustrations, hassleness starts to kind of melt away. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. And there is, you know, an opportunity for every single individual. Some of us sense his presence more. Some of us, you know, get goosebumps. Some of us, you know, feel tingly. Some of us, you know, feel an overwhelming peace. Others just feel like an assurance. But all of us can still, in a way, remove the tensions of the world for a time and let God's peace flood our hearts. You know, like it says in Hebrews 12 again, to turn our eyes towards Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and seated at the right hand of God. And when we do that, we turn away from all the things that are entangling us, the sins that easily beset us, the hassles and the pressures of life. But we do have to turn, don't we?
Matthew, it says, and you, when you go into your room, close the door behind you. So what is God saying? He's saying, shut out all that stuff that overwhelms you in your thinking and everything, and enter into me. And my perception of that is that God is the creator of heaven and earth, and he summons us as individuals to come before him in person like that and close everything else out, because that is a very intimate moment with the Lord. And in that, we are we're forced in that sense because of his love and intimacy that we close everything out. In other words, don't close the door, slam the door behind you, and enter into that place in God.
The sacred place is what it was called, yeah. And, you know, some people say, well, I don't have a place to close. No, it can be figurative as well. You can choose, like I said, close your eyes and start focusing on him and close the door to life. And when a thought comes up, you know, now I've heard people who practice what's called contemplative prayer. And what it basically is, it's focusing on the Lord with a scripture or a thought. And when thoughts try to come to you, oh, you got to go take out the garbage. You don't get mad and say, oh, because when you get mad, guess what? You lose. You lose that joy. You lose that peace. You just say, oh, yes, I'll take care of that later. And I'll start thinking about the Lord again. You don't let, you know, your thoughts continue to bombard your time with God. Even when you go to in a secret room, I've done it before, I started praying, even praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden thoughts start coming. It's like, I'm not focusing on God. And you start getting, you know, condemning yourself, and you get... You're losing the whole point. The point is not for you to sit there and work something up. The point is for you to receive from him. That's why, you know, we're really in prayer to be listening more than we're to be speaking. Amen?
Amen.
Does anyone else have anything?
I've got it.
You got it? Awesome. She understood it. That's great. Yes.
This is the first time I've heard this preached on Martha part.
You know, oh, yeah.
Way different than I've ever heard, because it's always been Martha came out full bore angry. If
Martha, you have been here.
But I never heard it this way and thought of it this way, that she said, if you had been here, it would have been different. But I know that this talks about, like you said, his timing.
Right.
That she understood his time was not what she wanted.
Right.
But he was still going to give her, you know, her brother.
I'm sure it was great disappointment.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
But this is a woman of faith talking. You can just hear it all the way through there.
This is the first time I've heard it taught that way, that she came out and not coming out full bore, ready to just rip his face off.
Right.
Because she was like, if you had been here, she was hurting. If you had
right.
been here, but I do know that God will do what you ask
him. Right. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All right. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for being the one, Lord, that will allow our bodies, Lord, to rise again, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that when we do leave this earth, Lord, if before that time, Lord, that you have a place for us in you, Lord, in your kingdom, in your heavenlies, Lord, and that our life will really start at that point. And so we thank you that you are the resurrection, Lord, that we have you and we have resurrection life flowing through us. As Romans says, that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised you from the dead, Lord Jesus, it's quickening, bringing life to our mortal bodies, even in this very moment. And we thank you, Lord, that death has no hold on us. It can't bar us anymore, Lord, because you have overcome death, hell, and the grave.
and that because we're yours, Lord, we have overcome death, hell, and the grave. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the truth of this word. We pray that it would go into our hearts and bear fruit, Lord, fruit that would remain, Lord, where you want it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right.
God bless you guys. Have a great day.